رسوله الكريم وما بعد. We came across this riwayat in Mishkat Sharif, narrated by Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, wa an Umar radiallahu anhu qal, qal Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ayyuma muslim shahida lahu arba'atun bi khayri adkhalahu Allahu al-jannah. Whichever Muslim testifies on his behalf that he was a good person, four people testify on his behalf, adkhalahu Allahu al-jannah. Allah will enter him into Jannah. Sahaba Islam said, qulna wa thalatha. And like Rasul, if three people testify on his behalf, qal wa thalatha. Even if three people testify and say he was a good person, then he will enter into Jannah. Qulna, Sahaba Ikram then said, wa isnani. Allah ke Rasul, if two people testify, qala wa isnani. Even if two good people testify on his behalf, he was a good man, Allah Ta'ala will enter him into Jannah. Then Sahaba said, thumma lam nas'alhu anil wahid. We didn't ask about one person. He said two. So if two pious people, the Shari'in of the hadith say two muttaqi people, not any kind people, two pious people, say when that person pass away that he was a good man, Allah will put him into Jannah. You see? That's why the Ahlullah, they say that we must find a spot in the heart of the Ahlullah, pious people, find a place there somewhere. So they start liking us. They start loving us. So that if we happen to die, then they'll have two kind words about us when we're gone. That will become hujjat for Allah Ta'ala. So you see, people said he's good. Pious people said he's good. Antum shuhada'ullahi fil ard. You are the witnesses of Allah Ta'ala on the earth. What the people consider to be pious and nek person, then Allah Ta'ala is also pious. And what people consider to be a sinner, nafarman person, open sinner, then that person, Allah Ta'ala, is also considered to be accordingly. So it is very important that we find a place in the heart of pious people. You understand? They must love us. Either we can make their khidmat, or we can go for du'as, or we go for tarbiyat, or we go for islah, or whatever khidmat we can make and go and take the du'as. That's very, very important. We must try and accomplish this. It's not hard. It can be done. And the Ahlullah, their hearts are very soft towards the makhluk of Allah Ta'ala. No matter how gunegar, siyakar, badkar we are, they'll never chase anyone from their door. Never. Never throw anybody out. Yeah, whoever comes in, they'll make his tarbiyat. Yes, once you have started your islah, and then if you do wrong things, then for islah purposes, they may reprimand you and scold you and shout you. But from their hearts, it's not like that. There's muhabbat. There's love. There's shafqat. A father sometimes when he sees his son doing wrong, he's got to shout his son. It's a remedial. Sometimes punishment is meted out. But it doesn't mean he stops loving his son. Now, unfortunately, nowadays, we feel if somebody shouts us, means that he doesn't love us, or he doesn't show us affection, he's shouting us, it means he's not following the sunnah of the Anbiya, because he's shouting. That's incorrect. That there are certain times when the Anbiya should also get angry, when they make islah. So islah with muhabbat is there, but getting angry doesn't negate muhabbat. Getting angry for the muslih, so it doesn't negate muhabbat. Still he has muhabbat in his heart. So the fact that he's showing that he's getting angry doesn't mean he has moved away from the path of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Yes, the Anbiya, most of the time when you tell your son one, two times nicely, if he listens to you, then you won't shout him. First you start off slowly. You make his tarbiyat slowly. Then after you told him two, three times, he's still not listening, Then the father starts staring at him. You shout him, he starts staring at him. Then a few times later, the father will raise his voice. And it comes to a point that he needs to rebuke him by even using a small stick. Shariat will allow the father to do that. So going to those limits doesn't mean that we don't love the person, or we have forsaken the path of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. There has to be sometimes outwardly izhar of anger. There has to be sometimes out that we are unhappy, displeasure. So sometimes when we speak softly with a nice tone, people don't want to listen. So you have to make the tone a little harsher. You see, so people unfortunately misconstrue that to mean that we are not showing love. That is love. When we go to the doctor, then the doctor will tell you, I see, you got this growth inside. Yeah. That growth needs some, need a scalpel to take out. So we're going to scrape you on the inside. But Dr. Saab, you're cutting my body. You're puncturing me. You're causing me a defect outwardly. But the Dr. Saab says, if I don't do it, you're not going to come right. You are not going to come right. Sayaji. So I'm going to take the scalpel, certain date you come to the hospital. We will admit you. And we'll put you on the thing. We'll give you an anesthetic. And you're gone. And next thing, we'll do what we have to do. They cut you, chop you up, everything. I went inside the into the theater also. I saw how they do an operation. It's not for the faint-hearted. And it is very, very gruesome inside there. And said, and how they, when they cut you, they make the incision. They even, in the olden days, now it is bleeding. So they, in the olden days, they used to brand the person to stop the bleeding. So nowadays, there is branding also happening inside the theater, but different form. Like they look like, use like a solar pen. So all the capillaries that are bleeding, they can't operate if there's too much blood. They got to reduce the level of blood. So they use like a solar pen and they block the bleeding. So you have to watch all that inside the theater, how they do it. You understand? So when the doctor is doing that, when you come out, then you thank the doctor. You thank him, say, mashallah. No, Dr. Saab, how the operation went? Very well. Operation went well. But you just chopped me up here. And you're saying that, Jazakallah, Dr. Saab, the operation went very well. So sometimes we misconstrue a little bit of suri, anger, to mean that we don't have love and muhabbat for the person. That's not true that. We are shouting because we have love. If we never have love, we wouldn't have shouted and even looked at the person. That's why Allah Ta'ala also, His beloved servants, He put him through trials. That's a sign of muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala. مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِخَيْرًا يُصِبْ مِنْ Allah Ta'ala, when He wants to irada to put a person to trial, then He wants to show, make khair for a person, He put him through a lot of trials. The greater you are, the greater the trial. When your iman is strong, the trial is strong also. When iman is weak, the trial is weak. So when those trials come from Allah Ta'ala, what is a sign of muhabbat or it's a sign of anger from Allah? That's a sign of muhabbat. Allah loves me. Allah is putting me through all these tests that I'm going through one after one, one after one. Yeah, we don't ask for tests. We ask for afiyat. But test, if it comes, then that's from Allah Ta'ala. But we can't, that doesn't mean now because the test came, Allah is unhappy. That's a sign that Allah is happy. Imagine now a person is doing wrong and we don't pay any attention to him. We're looking the opposite way. No, I told him one time and finished. I done my duty. Is that proper? Love that. Or you must try your utmost to do whatever you can with all your ability to stop him self-destructing himself, self-destruction, on a path of self-destruction. First, there are different levels. You first start off here, then you go one step up, then you get one step up, then finally, when a wife is not listening, then the Shariat says that finally in the end you can take out a small stick. But don't hit on the face. غير مبرح. Don't cause any wound. Don't cause any face. So there has to be some level of admonition also. Admonishment. Shariat will allow that, but within the confines of the Shariat. So now to say, no, if a person is harsh in his tone, or he's like this or like that, he doesn't have love, he's not making Islah the correct way. But we must study the Quran and Hadith also more deeply to see when Sahaba used to get angry, when Anbiya used to get angry. Yeah. You understand it? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he shouldn't just get angry. If somebody told him against his own self, attacked him personally, on a personal level, he will endure everything. Yes, but if Shariat was trampled on, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam would never remain quiet. Then Nabi salallahu alayhi wasalam used to get very angry. So where that anger came from now? Where that anger came from? Because disrespect is being shown to the ahkam of Allah. When disrespect is shown to the ahkam of Allah, then we have to get angry. That's also a sunnah of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So people trying to remove that part. They're trying to erase that part. They just want to promote the first part. But the second part, say be tolerant. Right? But the second part, that he was angry. For what he was angry? Because of the fact that we are not showing the proper respect to the ahkam and the laws of Allah Ta'ala, breaking the laws of Allah. That's what he couldn't tolerate. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam could not tolerate that. When study Quran and Hadith, you'll find it there. But that wasn't actually my majlis. That was something Allah just put it in my heart now. My majlis actually was regarding what we were speaking about last week, that one of the maqasid of the Quran Sharif is husne khulq, wa innaka la ala khuluqin azim. That Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is on high level of akhlaq. You know this iman of ours. Hi. It is something that either our iman is not on one level all the time. Either iman is going up, iman is coming down. Something is not stagnated on one level. Iman increases and iman decreases. There's increase also in the iman, and there's decrease in the iman. Now, what is the litmus test to see whether our iman is alive or our iman is dead? If we do good deeds and we feel happy about it, or if we do bad deeds and we feel sad about it, we feel pain in our hearts, then that is a sign that our iman is alive. Iman is alive. So how we will know iman is alive? What's a litmus test? We went to school. In science they teach you litmus test. You see. So what is a litmus test to see whether iman is alive or dead? When we do good deeds, that means iman is alive. And we feel happy about it. And when we do bad deeds, ya Allah, I don't know how come I done this. I got caught up. My nafs became ghalib. I got no excuses. Allah, I faltered, I'm weak, I made a mistake. Now you're crying in your heart. That pain, I let myself down. I let Allah Ta'ala down. I let Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam down. Now that pain is there in the heart of the believer. And what he's doing wrong, he knows it's wrong. And his heart is paining also. Now that is a sign that the iman is alive. If we're committing sin, and there's no pain in the heart, we're so used to committing it, and we're doing it over and over and over, understand that now that nahusat of that sin is gone, that pain of that sin, or that karahiya, dislike of the sin, is no more inside the heart. That means iman is dead. Iman has died. There's no power in the flame. It's all ashes now. There's no flicker left of the iman. Because when we're committing guna, our hearts are not paining. It's normalized. And today the whole world, this is what they have done. They have normalized sin to the extent that we don't even consider sin to be sin anymore. No more sin is considered to be sin. Everything is kullun halal. You say, even if you go to a kafir's restaurant, anything served to you, just read Bismillah is halal, eat. Yaha tak baat pahunch gayi hai. We reach to that such a level now. Allah Ta'ala save us. When Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu ta'ala anha was being asked regarding the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what did she say, Hazrat Aisha, in describing his akhlaq? He said, kana khuluquhu al-Qur'an. My Shaykh said, Hazrat Muqamul Zaman Sahib, he said, was reading in his majlis. He said, look at this answer. If somebody wants to describe the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but you will have to write books and books to describe his akhlaq. She summarized it in three words. Kana khuluquhu al-Qur'an. Shows the brilliance of Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa. His akhlaq was the Qur'an. His akhlaq was the Qur'an. Whatever is inside the Qur'an, he was the embodiment and a mirror image of whatever is inside the Qur'an. And that is why his whole life, whatever he done, his akhlaq, his a'mal, his aqwal, he was making tashri' of the Qur'an Sharif. He was clarifying and explaining through his actions, and he was explaining everything to his aqwal and his a'mal, everything that comes inside the Qur'an Sharif. So it shows you the brilliance of Hazrat Aisha. Now, how much comes in the Qur'an? How are we going to elaborate all that? She summarized it in three words. She said, "Kana khuluquhu al-Qur'an." His akhlaq was the Qur'an Sharif. Allahu Akbar. Hazrat Hassan, Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he mentioned, "Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ahsana an-nasi khuluqa." He was the best of all people as far as his akhlaq is concerned. Best of all people as far as his akhlaq is concerned. You never had anybody who had more noble akhlaq than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My Hazrat is sick, make dua for him. Said that he was in hospital. He just got discharged last night. And you won't believe it. He came out around, say, 12 o'clock or something from hospital. And today too he had majlis. And in the hospital itself he had a majlis. In the hospital. From his bed. Now do you want to hear what he said from his bed? In the hospital? When we're sick, then we say we got Sharia excuse. You see? We got Sharia excuse. Say the weather is bad today, we want to cancel the majlis. So the home minister said, you can't cancel the majlis. And that you don't have Sharia excuse. And that he's going to Sharia, go for the majlis. So your decision has been overruled. Decision has been overruled, must go and have majlis. And then when I thought about my sheikh sitting in his hospital bed, and having majlis for 5 minutes from his bed, then I got himmat a little bit. I felt a little bit courage. If a Hazrat can have a majlis from his hospital bed, then it's not hard for us. It's a little bit rain, a little bit wind, cold, but that's nothing that. What he said from his hospital bed. That's why we get encouragement from our elders, you know. Nowadays, when we teach in a madrasa also, so many years have passed, we get tired also. We feel, hey, we want holiday. So one day I told Hazrat Qari Ismail Sufi Sahab, Rahmatullah Ali, Hazrat, give me 1 year off now. I need a little bit rest. I tell all my students also, I need to go on the beachfront. I said that. And I throw the phone away. And said, we count the flies and we'll drink pina colada. So I told Hazrat Qari Ismail Sufi Sahab, he said, what are you talking about? That if you're going to retire after 20 years, then your students will retire after 10 years. Go back to class. Go back to class. And then when we went to Falahi Darain, I saw Hazrat Maulana Zulfiqar Sahab Rahmatullah Alayh in his final stage of his life. They used to carry him, the students, up the staircase to his class. Couldn't walk. They used to carry him. But he never gave it up till the last breath. They thought till the last breath. And one day I told him also, Hazrat, why don't you go home now? You gave ummat your whole life. You've dedicated so much. Why don't you go home and rest, spend some time with your family? One answer Hazrat told me. And then I told him also, don't worry about your expenses and all that. Inshallah, Allah will take care of all that with the fadl of Allah Ta'ala. Time to spend time with your family. You gave your whole life for the ummat. What did he say? He said, jo kaam shuru kiya hai. What we have started, we've got to finish. He passed away in the madrasa. I was climbing, couldn't walk up the stairs, and they climbed, you carry him to the classroom. This is the inspiration that we get from our akabirin, from the Ahlullah. We can't, when what we have seen visually, and we've seen their dedication and all that. Allahu Akbar, Kabira. Hazrat Maulana Sher Ali Sahab, Rahmatullahi, he was close to like 90s now. So you're teaching for 50, 60 years now. When you get in that stage, your speech is not so coherent and all that. So the madrasa is telling him, Hazrat, you retire now. If you need to take the vaccine, he said, no chance, still going to the class. Understand? So they gave him one small section of Bukhari Sharif to teach. They took away the bulk, but they gave him, so at least he felt that he's still coming to madrasa, right till the end, right till the last breath. As we're speaking now, Hazrat Maulana Aqilur Rahman, my ustad in Jalalabad, who I done Abu Dawud Sharif by him, alhamdulillah, his sanad of hadith is very, very strong. He's a direct student of Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madini Rahmatullah Ali. He has given us ijazat in hadith also. You won't believe it. He was very, very sick. He's in his 90s now. He's close to Hazrat Maulana Qamar Zaman Sahib's age. He went back to teach. While we're talking, he's back in madrasa. He's teaching. He's in his 90s now. He's still having dars of Bukhari Sharif. Can you imagine? This is the dedication of the Ahlullah. Okay, my Hazrat, before he went into hospital, he gave majlis. Inside the hospital, he gave majlis. He came out of the hospital, he's still giving majlis. That dedication, where you gonna get? You can't find anywhere. You can't find anywhere. What did he say when he was in the hospital? He said, ajeeb thing. He said that there was no person more forgiving than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What he said from the hospital? That he had forgiven all his enemies also. And all the people that were captured by the Muslims and all of them. He said, kullukum tulaqa. All of you free to go. Forgave everyone. His greatest enemies also, he forgave them. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said that in history, if you look, when people take power, the first thing they go against is their enemies. And they take revenge. They take revenge. And they wipe out all their enemies because we have taken over. We in the seat of power. He says, but history cannot show a leader when after taking power, he forgave all his enemies. That is the shan of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is the shan. He went to the extent of saying that if today any family member of Abu Sufyan has to come and ask for aman, we will give him aman. We will give protection to any family member of Abu Sufyan also. This is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His level of forgiveness. He harbored no ill feelings against anyone in his heart. And I think that is something that is a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have to learn from that. Have no enemies. Not even one enemy must have on this earth. And when we leave this earth, don't harbor any bad feelings for anyone. Don't harbor any bad feelings for anyone. Understand it? When we leave this world, bas, direct ta'alluq with Allah Ta'ala, khalas. Makhluq, I don't have not one enemy from all the makhluq of Allah Ta'ala. And whoever owed me something, whatever, all maaf, kullun maaf. I made everything maaf for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. So don't leave. Have this heart of forgiveness. Have a big heart. A white chest, forgiving heart, and don't harbor no grudges against anyone. That is the sunnah tradition of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "Lekin Huzur sallallahu alaihi wasallam jaise maaf karne wala dunya ne nahi dekha. The world hasn't seen a person as forgiving as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in 10 years that he spent, in 10 years after taking control, said that. What in his time of leadership, we tell him 10 years because after he went to Madina Munawara, after the Markaz of Islam was established, and then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, understand that that's when his actual leadership, you could see it now because he's in the Darul Islam, Darul Khilafah, was established in Madina Munawara. In that 10 years, what he done, and what was achieved, and what futuhat, how much conquer, how Islam spread, how kufr and shirk was eradicated. So history couldn't can't prove a leader like that. What he accomplished in such a short period of 10 years. No history can prove that. In fact, on his deathbed also, this is what we don't talk about. This is what we don't talk about. What did Nasiyat Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam give on his deathbed? He gave Nasiyat, he said, Akhriju al-Yahud wa al-Nasara min Jazirat al-Arab. Must chase them away from here, from the Arab Peninsula. Chase the Christians away. Chase the Jews away. So he cleaned the whole place out from kufr and shirk. But only Tawheed was left. But he took over the whole Arab Peninsula. Everything was captured. So therefore, at the end of the day, Hazrat then, he says that Huzur Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, ki risalat ke baad, after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, khilafat hai, bagawat nahi. There is khilafat. After the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there is khilafat. That's why Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu became the Khalifa, the Khulafa'i Rashideen. That system of khilafat needs to continue. And unfortunately, Sanat, it got removed. And since then till now, the Ummah is under a lot of severe problems because we have moved away from the Khilafat system. The correct Khilafat system is no more in place. So the Ummah is disintegrated. And the Ummah is disintegrated, no central command, no proper leadership. That is why although we are 2 billion Muslims in the world, we are being pummeled because there is no central command. Divide and rule. We have been divided. Now it's easy to rule over us because we moved away from the system of Khilafat. So Hazrat says that after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the system of Khilafat, not Baghawat, that we turn against the ahkam of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam and we put that in our backs and said that and we do our own things after that. That is wrong. Allah Ta'ala bring us back towards the Khilafat. May Allah Ta'ala imbibe in us all the beautiful qualities taught to us by Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the quality of forgiveness, the quality of not having hatred for anyone, sanat, not carrying grudges against people. These are very, very important qualities from the akhlaq of Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah give us all tawfiq to adhere and imbibe in us these beautiful qualities. Inshallah, next week there is one majlis I also took down. I will continue with that next week. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.